Welcome to Formative, the show where today's leaders are interviewed by the leaders of tomorrow. We have Adrian Morahone with us today. Adrian is a New York-based bassoonist who has established himself as a soloist, chamber, and orchestral musician. Adrian has performed with the Philadelphia Orchestra, Dorian Wind Quartet, Talia Ensemble, and many others. Adrian is also currently on the faculty at SUNY Purchase College Conservatory of Music, CUNY Brooklyn College, and CUNY Hunter College. Hello and welcome. I'm Rachel Gazdick, CEO of New York Edge, and my co-host today is Leilani from IS663K. Leilani, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I go to a school called the School of the Future. It's a middle school. I'm an eighth grader. I'm 13. I enjoy performing and learning choreograph, and I consider myself a good listener.
That's great. And who are we going to be speaking with today?
Today we're going to be speaking to Adrian Morahone. I'm actually pretty excited to learn about him.
I'm also really looking forward to it. So let's welcome Adrian to the show. Adrian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So Leilani, I'm going to turn it over to you. What's your first question for Adrian?
My first question is, tell me a little bit more about like the bassoon and what actually makes the bassoon a little bit special. And yeah.
That's a great question. So the bassoon is interesting. It's a double reed instrument. So if you know the oboe, the bassoon is the lower partner of the oboe. Something that drew my interest is that it has a sound that can relate to the voice, or it blends well with strings. So I like that it has a very nice mellow sound that can be very expressive. A lot of people know the bassoon in a different character, right? Sometimes people call it like the, I hate using this term, but some people call it the clown of the orchestra. But because a piece is like Sorcerer's Apprentice, if you remember from Fantasia, both iterations, it has like the bass-like instrument qualities, right? Short, low notes that can dance around. So it does have that character, but there's a lot of repertoire out there. And you probably, if you listened for it in film scores, you would hear it a lot. It has a very expressive quality in the middle to high range as well. It's not as commonly used in a lot of pop music, but I think film score is a nice entry point for non-classical musicians that might be curious about the bassoon.
So the bassoon is one of the instruments that makes up an orchestra. Can you tell us a little bit more about life in the orchestra?
It's, as an orchestral musician, you would convene regularly for rehearsals, preparing for concerts, and you kind of organize your schedule around the orchestra's season calendar. And you really commit yourself to the orchestra. And that was very exciting for me as I was growing up and learning more about the bassoon and the music world. I was lucky enough in my undergraduate years in Philadelphia to be a sub with the Philadelphia Orchestra, which was incredible to get to play with a lot of my idols in the woodwind world. And I appreciated every moment of it. Eventually, I started realizing that I wanted to do more than just that. So when you're an orchestral musician, you really commit yourself to one group and you really learn how to play like a family, you know, really working well together and really getting to learn each other's playing in an intimate way so you can create the best product. So I definitely decided at some point that I wanted to go into chamber music and do the same thing, getting to know other musicians, but in a smaller scale. And so I slowly shifted away from the path of trying to audition for an orchestra. And I learned how to really think about what I wanted to do and create a path for myself.
Oh, okay. That's good. How did you know you wanted to be a musician?
That's a good question. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida, by my parents who came to the U.S. from Cuba in the 1960s. And by word of mouth in my family, I heard stories about how my family, in previous generations in my family, there were many people who were involved in the orchestral and opera scenes in Cuba. And my mother played piano in Cuba before moving to the U.S. And so there was a little influence from my mother for me to get into music. And then that was enhanced by having one of my older brothers play the flute. So from an early age, I was exposed to wind instruments and piano. And so in my elementary school years, I played recorder and piano. And then by middle school, a band started. And so I started playing saxophone, clarinet, and eventually bassoon. And bassoon kind of stuck. And then by high school, I auditioned for the New World School of the Arts in Miami, Florida. And once I got in, I think that started cementing this path for me.
I'm kind of curious about, like, did you, like, really had interested, like, were you really interested in the bassoon?
Yes, I was definitely. So it's an interesting question. This goes back to middle school when I first selected the bassoon. And I had been playing clarinet and alto saxophone for the previous year and change, perhaps. And our band director, she pulls out this instrument that Noah was currently playing, and she presents it to us like, here's this instrument, everyone. We really need someone to play it. And everyone's just kind of looking at like, what is that? So when people ask me, why'd you pick the bassoon? My short one word answer is like, is pity. Because at first I was just like, oh, like no one's playing it. And so in the beginning, I had to go into like the back room while rehearsals would happen with the ensemble and self-teach myself the bassoon so I could really quickly join the ensemble. And so I enjoyed the challenge. I think it was exciting to self-teach myself an instrument and also play an instrument that not many people were playing at the time.
What are three things that you like about yourself and the bassoon?
Three things that I like about myself. And I will think of those three things in ways that connect with the bassoon or what the bassoon brings into my life. I'm a very gregarious person, and I like connecting with people. The bassoon and the world of music is a great facilitator of that. A lot of what I do is about getting people together, not only musicians coming together and making music, but also going to the community and providing the music for them. So that's one thing that I like about myself is the ability to connect with people and the ability to find a way to communicate to people who maybe don't even speak my language, you know, English or Spanish. Like, music is a universal language. And so I love that about the bassoon and music in general. A second thing I like about myself is that I chose to go in the direction of my own path. I had reasons not to, based on what other people might have said. And I always stuck to my gut or the path that provided the most passion for me or the most reward. And sticking with it, I am really happy with the career that I've created for myself. So I tried not to doubt myself. Of course, there were challenges and obstacles along the way, but I went forward regardless, and I'm proud of that. And then the third thing that I would say I like about myself is, I guess, a little related to the second, but it's more about just music in general and bassoon, is I always gravitate towards like the more difficult challenge. Like, I always like finding the music that was more challenging. I always like challenging my listening skills, whether it's like genres of music I wasn't familiar with. A lot of my career is oriented in contemporary music. So of course that's it needs a lot of open ears and a lot of creativity to listen to things that maybe once upon a time I didn't think of as music, but now I do. And so this ability to be flexible and go for the extra challenge.
Did you have any mentors while you were learning to play this instrument? Mm-hmm. If so, who were they?
Yes, I think I have three mentors throughout the development of my music making that really influenced me. The first one was at New World School of the Arts, and it was my bassoon teacher, who was Manny Zegler. And he was the former principal bassoonist of the New York Philharmonic back when Leonard Bernstein was conducting. And so for me, it was interesting to have that exposure into the larger classical music scene. And coming from Miami, I wasn't really aware of like the New York, Philadelphia, Boston, like a lot of the traditions in orchestra playing or wind playing. And so Manny Zegler introduced me to a lot of that. And he was the one who really pushed for me to audition to the Curtis Institute of Music, which is where I did my undergrad. And so if it weren't for him, the beginning of my path wouldn't have been so defined. In addition to him, I have to bring up Roby George, who was our wind ensemble conductor. And so he also influenced me in just learning about various genres, ensembles, different things that one could do in music. So those were my early mentors. Once I went to Philadelphia for undergrad, my teacher there, Bernard Garfield, was the former principal bassoonist of the Philadelphia Orchestra. And he was the one who helped me really develop and learn about the industry and kind of set new standards for what I wanted to achieve. And so really kind of pushing the bar up for me and make me really think about what exactly I wanted to do. After undergrad, I went to the Yale School of Music, where I studied with Frank Morelli, and he was my private teacher, and he is the one who helped me really find my voice in my career. He helped me realize that as much as I respect the symphony orchestra and musicians who played in orchestra primarily, Frank Morelli helped me realize that I wanted to do chamber music and solo repertoire and contemporary music, Baroque music. And so I think that the order of these mentors really helped define my trajectory and helped me land in New York, where I created a career for myself.
Okay. Well, my next question is, what challenges did you face while learning the bassoon?
In the very beginning, I think my main challenge is that it took me a couple years before I had a private teacher. And so having to teach myself and take time away from my middle school band to go into the side room and go through etude books, learn fingerings, it was a challenge. And also in that beginning period, it was also tricky because I had to figure out reeds, which for double reed instruments is a whole other challenge compared to clarinet, saxophone, the single reeds. And so it wasn't until I got into my high school years where I even thought about reed making, and I really didn't learn those skills until I was in college. So I think those were the early challenges I had to face.
Adrian, I think a lot of children, when they say they want to be an artist or they want to be a writer, whatever it is, they'll sometimes feel in an adult's face without even saying it, that they're telling them, like, you know, come on, kid, be realistic. Like, you have to have a backup plan. So I'm wondering, did you ever feel that? And if so, you know, how did you navigate that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that's something that's important to talk to younger people about in general, regardless of the industry or the field, is when I first moved to New York, I finished grad school, I left Yale, and I moved to New York with fellow musicians who were trying, and we were starting a chamber group. And then I was going to start freelancing. But that's a challenging period, transitioning from school to professional life. And so, you know, I was fortunate enough that my last teacher, Frank Morelli, helped me get some work right away in the city and helped me meet people and network a little bit. However, it's hard to make enough money to live in New York City. And so I acknowledged the challenge. I had family members that were just like, you know, you're really good in science and math and all this stuff. Do you have a backup plan? And I said, no, I'm gonna go for this. And I really want to put all my energy into this. And so what I ended up doing is, you know, I would take part-time jobs in the city my first couple years, but I made sure that they were all related to music. My first immediate one that I remember was at the Barnes & Noble that used to be at Lincoln Center. I was in the music department. I still wanted to be related to music. I wanted to be something that maybe I would learn something from that work. And I made it through one holiday season and I was like, oh, great, I can't do this. It's too much. But you know, I respect those who work in that industry. And then after that, I joined the marketing team at the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, which was really valuable because I got to meet a lot of people who were doing chamber music in New York. And fast forward a couple of years, I would eventually play on some concerts through CMS of Lincoln Center. And a lot of the artists there would become colleagues of mine. And so my solution to your original question was I accepted the challenge, but I tried to find a solution to pay the bills, but using the skill set I have and trying to find jobs that were temporary, but would enhance or help me learn more about the industry. And so eventually, I think after the CMS job, that was the last last job that wasn't related to the things I'm focusing on now, which are performance, teaching, and running an ensemble.
Wow, that's very creative and really sound advice. Leilani, do you have more questions for Adrian?
Yeah. If you weren't a musician, what would you be?
I had moments where I thought about it. I have two answers to it. The first answer comes from my high school years. I talked about the other jobs I took in New York as I adjusted to New York life. But in my high school years and undergraduate years, when I go back to Miami to visit family for the summers, I would do some work at the local hospital. I did work that was related to like medical records or things that were more entry level for someone like me who wasn't focusing on it. And I do think that the medical field is something that I would have considered had it not been for music. As I mentioned earlier, math and science were my strong subjects in school. And I still feel that way, although I've forgotten a lot of it. But of course, math is important with music for the sense of keeping time, rhythm, you name it. But I think it would have been something either medical or engineering oriented, maybe in the math direction. And then I think the second answer is, it's a little unfair answer. Maybe it's a little bit of cheating since I do teach, but I have a love for teaching. Of course, I teach within music, but I could see myself having gone in any level from K through higher ed, just teaching at some level if I weren't in music as well.
So our last question for you, Adrian, if you could go back to speak to your 13-year-old self, what would you say?
I would say, don't doubt yourself, trust your gut, and make your path, regardless of what you think is expected of you.
Oh, thanks so much for that. This has just been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you for being such a wonderful co-host, Leilani.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you, Leilani.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Formative, a production of New York Edge. I'm your host, Rachel Gazdick. Our production partner for this series is Citizen Race Car.
This episode was produced by me, Hajar Aldaz.
Post-production by me, Alex Brower.
And production management by me, Gabriella Montekin.
Thanks to the whole team here at New York Edge for making this series possible. Never miss an episode of Formative by subscribing to the series at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.